You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, the local hero himself, firefighter extraordinaire, Chris Rankin, making the trek from Sumter County today, just beating the clock, sliding in, you know. There, I said sliding in so I could pretend like I talked about the World Series being over. I really don't care. I'm glad it's over. It's kind of like a disaster. People, you know, focusing on things that aren't football. Some idiot out there on Facebook, I'm not going to name names, EJ Christian, but why on earth are you talking about basketball on this past Sunday when even non-football fans had the World Series and then it was a battle of undefeateds at night? How are you watching basketball on Sunday? Help me, Chris.
Yeah, especially when there's a game in London that started at 9:30 in the morning here, too.
Wall-to-wall freaking stuff. It's just that simple. Anyways, you know something I can be proud of? I can be proud of somebody who's playing hurt, redefining playing hurt. He's not in with the studio with us, but he found a way to get comfortable and dial in. The personality of the show himself, you know him, you love him, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
There it is. I wondered how that was going to go on the speakerphone, but hey, it worked, man. So it's good to have you back. I got to tell you, it'll be nice to have some sane analysis instead of Nick Ficarelli, who came and checked in last week in your stead to do the picks with us. And don't worry, your picks were, you know, just as good as his. Which isn't necessarily a compliment because you both picked the Dolphins. I don't know what that's about. But we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Weasel, tell me, are you judging people that watched baseball on Sunday like I am? Or basketball, not baseball. Well, them too. Whatever.
Basketball, I think it's early on. Is it like preseason?
Well, no, the season started just barely.
Yeah, it started on Wednesday.
That's right.
It's all right to talk about. It's nice that baseball, I think it's over. Basketball, it's the early on. It's not too bad.
Dude, you still got 80.
If this was playoff time, then it's different.
Chris makes the point. Each team still has 80 games. Let it go. This is why I don't watch basketball till after Christmas. Because, I mean, you know, what makes it the most wonderful time of the year? Yeah, that whole Christmas thing is great. But college football, NFL stuff's getting heated up for the playoff picture. I ain't even watching basketball until after Christmas, man.
It's more like after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Because that's in February, which is after the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, you know, at that point, the playoff games are they don't take...
You still have 40 games left.
I don't know. Anyways, enough judging with the basketball fans right now. I'll tell you the people who I will judge. Those that knee-jerked and thought Dan Campbell would make a difference on Thursday night against the New England Patriots for the Dolphins. Chris, walk us through that sham.
As we mentioned last week, there was no way the Miami Dolphins were going to beat the New England Patriots. And Dolphins fans came back to reality and lost 36-7. The Dolphins had no answer for Rob Gronkowski as the Patriots stay undefeated. As you mentioned before, Gronk makes the Patriots. And at the high level of play he has been doing this year, he even makes his teammates better because teams are keying him, which opens up his receivers.
They're keying him in the passing game. He's blocking in the running game. Gronk is the bleeping MVP of the New England Patriots. Continue, Chris.
Yeah, Gronk finished the game leading all receivers with 113 yards and 6 carries with a touchdown. Also, you know, what hurt the Dolphins is when you don't force Tom Brady to make any mistakes, you will lose. When Tommy Brady doesn't turn the ball over, he seldomly loses.
He will lose.
He was 26 for 38 for 356 yards and 4 touchdowns. Running back Deion Lewis caught 6 balls out of the backfield for 93 yards and a touchdown, and Julian Edelman had 2 touchdowns with 81 yards. What was the 2 things that helped the Dolphins the past 2 weeks? Minus the strength of the opponents.
Damn it. The running game.
That was one.
Bing! Hold on. I have my notes.
Wait, any idea?
What 2 things... Defense? No.
No. That goes against the strength of the opponent.
Damn, that's right.
Control.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't have both in this game as Ryan Tannehill threw 2 interceptions, and as a team, they were in the ball for 15 yards on 13 carries.
epic.
Tannehill was 28 for 44 for 300 yards. Jarvis Landry had 6 catches for 71 yards, and Rishard Matthews chipped in with 62 yards receiving. Really, this game came down to turnovers. When you don't force Tom Brady to make a mistake and you can't shut down Gronk, then you'll lose every time. So, really, when do you see the Patriots lose their first game?
You know, I mean, you can't do that by looking at the schedule, right? And EJ brought this up to me on his show, on my appearance with him, Earnestly Speaking. We do a thing every week. And he asked the question of the Patriots going undefeated. Look, if you look at just the schedule, it looks like it could happen. But to be honest, I'm not convinced they'll get past the Jets the second time necessarily. Hell, they shouldn't have got past them the first time, one may argue. With the what the Broncos did in their latest game, more on that later, that game just got a lot more competitive. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're going to do it, but I can't tell you when they're going to lose next. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking
it won't be next week. Yeah, I don't think the Redskins are going to do it.
And I don't think the Giants are going to do it either the week after.
No, probably not. So, I think Gronk's going to get 3 touchdowns for 200 yards.
And then I don't think the week after that would be the Bills in 11. I don't see that too much, even though they are playing in Foxborough. It's Rex Ryan going over to New England. I don't see that. So it'd be week 12, Denver, maybe, for that defense.
I mean, it certainly seems like their best shot at the moment. I don't know. Anyways, yeah.
And also with the Dolphins, you know, with this game, minor setback, or is just was what the team's going to be this year?
Well, first of all, you mentioned in your intro that the Dolphin fans are coming back to reality. This is a grim reality with Cameron Wake out for the year. So, I think the jury's still out on Dan Campbell. The real test of a coach isn't what you do in tune-up games versus the Titans and Texans. I mean, that was great. He beat the hell out of teams that were terrible. But then you end up with the Patriots. Nobody thought he was going to win that. What they do in this upcoming game, and I believe it's the Bills they're facing next week, the outcome of the Bills game is going to weigh pretty heavy on my judgment of Dan Campbell. I mean, because at that point, the Bills aren't a great team, but they're not a bad team. It's also a division game. That's a lot of intangibles going on. That's the kind of thing a coach should be managing, right, is rival games like that and getting their team ready for that. Anybody, Weasel, Dan Campbell, man, give me some thoughts.
This is his second game as an interim coach, right?
Third?
Well, so he's 2-1. And I think it's early to tell. I mean, they did lose, you know, Cameron Wake, which stinks for them. But I see them still being successful.
So, yeah, so you're in our boat. The Bills game is what you're waiting to see the result of. Yeah, I can't front on that.
Is Tyrod Taylor going to be there, though?
Is he
able to play? Because I got a lot more faith than the other day.
Okay. It's still a rivalry game within the division. I mean, EJ Manuel hasn't done terrible, but he's not great either, you know. I mean, I don't know. We'll get more into that part of it in the study hall. That's where we pick the games. I think that's where we'll break that down. But speaking of things breaking down, I'm pretty sure the Detroit Lions wish that their plane had broken down instead of them playing in England because, oh boy, Charkandrick. So that's 4 syllables, but 2 words. Charkandrick West filling the gap nicely in the running game for an injured Jamaal Charles. But look, it didn't end with him. This is what we call a beatdown. Kansas City goes 45-10. Look, I'm not here to tell you that the 2 interceptions that Matt Stafford threw weren't a factor here, but even if he didn't throw them, it just didn't matter, okay? Swiss cheese is something people will say that, no. What is more porous than Swiss cheese? I don't know, but it should be used here because the Lions defense is who I'm pinning this on.
I'd pin it on the you got rid of the offense coordinator and the offensive line coach last week. And yet there's still no difference in the offensive play calling and the offensive line. The offensive line was atrocious out there because Stafford didn't have time at all.
No, he didn't.
Oh, I mean, they're rushing 2, they're rushing 4, they're rushing 5. It's the same thing. The pocket was collapsing on him.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he was, like, worried, like, either hearing footsteps or something. I don't know. But he was throwing all over the place or getting sacked. I mean, one play he got sacked four times in a row on a three and out because they had a call back for a penalty.
Well, this is what that Chiefs defense is capable of doing when they get rest, right? I mean, dude, Tamba Hali, Justin Houston, that defensive Dontari Poe. I could keep going if I really wanted to just list off a bunch of defensive names, but they got Pro Bowl caliber people there. They were given time to rest because the Chiefs' offense was dominating the Lions' defense. Hell, Alex Smith had like a bazillion-yard run in that game. You know, I mean, it was a hole that you or I could have run through. Hell, Weasel with his torn MCL could have gotten 20 yards on that mother beeper.
Alex Smith had like 49.
49. Yeah. How interesting. Because, you know, he used to play for them. Anyway. No, but yeah. That game was a waste of time. The Lions are a waste of time. Pop quiz. More likely to get another win. The Detroit Lions or the Tennessee Titans? Chris. I know. You didn't have time to study.
Well, I would say that the Detroit Lions, because they'll fire Caldwell before the season, so that'll be a win for them.
Interesting. Weasel.
I'm gonna have to say, let's see. It was the Lions and Tennessee.
Correct.
I don't think Mariota's gonna be out much longer. So I'm banking on him. And when you got for the Lions, when you got like that Stafford, you got Calvin Johnson, you got the running back, Abdullah.
They're not even playing.
Yes, and Eric Ebron's decent too. Why they can't get him running with that? That's I think it's been pretty bad for them for the rest of the year. But I'll go with Titans.
The problem is they're not using Abdullah. They're using Theoretic and
Joik Bell.
They're not even using the rookie out there. They tried him. They're using the rookie
he's
to return
though,
kicks.
Right?
Say again.
He's healthy though,
yeah,
right?
They're using him to return kicks.
So I don't know. But hey, the answer to that pop quiz I just offered could change in your mind when you see who they lost to this past Sunday. Chris!
The Texans defense showed up after the awful showing last week. But don't get excited too much, Texans fans. It was against the Tennessee Titans. And your offense didn't do much on the way to a 20-6 win over the division rival. The defense played with force throughout the game, giving Titans quarterback Zett Mettenberg trouble all game and sacking him seven times on their way to a 3-5 record for the year. The Titans fall to 1-6. Their only win is against the Tampa Bay Bucks in week one.
Where it was Mariota versus Winston and all that other crap, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, seven sacks. Keep in mind that between two players, six of those occurred.
I'll get those in a minute.
Yes, but on that later.
Yeah, I'm going to spare you some of the stats. I'm just going to break down the game. Mettenberger threw an interception. Hoyer did not. DeAndre Hopkins and Nate Washington both had touchdowns for the Texans. Difference in the game was J.J. Watt. Watt had 2.5 sacks. I knew you were thinking there was another guy that had more sacks. And it was Whitney Merciless.
Living up to his name.
He had 3.5 sacks, and it's all thanks to J.J. Watt.
Is that Watt you are talking about?
Yes. So, let's see, 3.5 sacks. Sack number one, Merciless. You know, Mettenberger moved in the pocket away from who?
I don't know what you are saying.
Yes. Right towards Merciless. Sack number two, Merciless came untouched on a stunt up the middle, thanks to who getting double-teamed?
What was the deal with that?
Sack number three, J.J. Watt was in the backfield, and by Mettenberger, if he wasn't held on the play, which they didn't throw a flag on either, he would have had this sack, but Mettenberger stepped away from Watt and right into Merciless.
What you gonna do?
And the sack of a half, who had the other half? J.J. Watt.
They Damn both it, met I was gonna say Brian Cushing.
They both met at the quarterback at the same time.
See, I was running out of Watt jokes right there. I don't know. Weasel, you got any others? Like, what do you mean? What's that?
I'm good.
Okay. I don't know. I couldn't think of any. I just...
What was the question again?
Ah, I see what he did there. Well done, Weasel. Well done. Playing hurt, hitting home runs. Weasel, Weez! You know who wasn't hitting home runs? the San Francisco 49ers as they got dominated 27-6 in a game where it was even further apart than that score implies. Let me set the stage for you, folks. Colin Kaepernick, who's been struggling virtually all of 2015 with a weak offensive line in front of him, where your top two running backs currently are not playing because Carlos Hyde is hurt and Jerod Hayne has been cut, which I still don't understand. By the way, I apologize in advance to our listeners if I start channeling Lewis Black during this particular game, but there's just a whole lot of crazy going on with the 49ers, okay? I said last year this time that they would suck, but good God almighty, I didn't think they'd become a vacuum cleaner factory. Anyways, Nick Foles threw a touchdown. Kaepernick didn't. Whatever. So, okay, that game sucked and the Rams won.
Todd Gurley, another over 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, and Todd Gurley went 8. That actually is legit.
It was a 71-yard touchdown run.
4 games in a row breaking 120 yards on the ground, right?
Yes, he has first 4 games of his career,
mm-hmm.
and he has 546 yards, I believe, total this year.
Something ridiculous. Pulling the running back version of an Odell Beckham Jr., it looks like.
Right.
I mean, you know. By the way, midseason awards coming up next week, folks, so check that out. See if Todd Gurley makes an appearance. You know who won't make an appearance? Any member of the 49ers, okay? You want to know why this? I know this game sucked? The biggest news from this game is Vernon Davis getting traded. Vernon Davis and a nutty buddy in exchange for a pack of Skittles and half a Snickers bar, or... to translate, Vernon Davis had a 2016 seventh round pick in exchange for a 2016 and 2017 sixth round pick. See, now when you thought I was just thinking candy because of Halloween. No, that's the value of the actual freaking picks. All for Peyton Manning to have a brand new shiny tight end not named Julius Thomas.
Not brand new, though. He's
well,
been in the league for 10 years.
It's new to him. it's kind of like NBC when they re- if you haven't seen it, it's new to you. Oh God. Anyways, so yeah, Niners suck. Anyways,
well, that wasn't a surprise coming into the year, though.
I know it's not. I mean, look.
So that's why they won't be on our awards next week.
No, they won't. you know,
it wouldn't even be under the biggest disappointment.
No, because we expected it.
Right.
That's exactly right. I mean, I was on. What was it? It's 3 or 4 weeks ago now. With Big TJ. It was the week of the Steelers-Ravens Thursday night game with Big TJ and Lamont Brodus, the sportsologist. Big friends of the show, by the way. You've probably heard them on here if you've listened. And they've rebooted their show. They've come back bigger and better. And I was actually their first guest. And Lamont Brodus had referred to the 49ers as old hot dog water. Like, when you boil hot dogs, the water that's left over, it's, like, smelly and nasty.
That's what you got to marinate the hot dogs in.
Hey, well, right. But, I mean, when it's done and it's been sitting there and now it's cold when the day is over, that kind of thing, right? I mean, it's pretty sick, you know. And he was all worried that I was going to open up just a can that he had said that the Niners were old hot dog water. I'm like, you're late to this party. Because I said this over a Thanksgiving meal. Now, if those hot dogs were boiled over Thanksgiving and that water was left there that long, you might have the 49ers team. It could be that bad. I don't know. Niners suck. Anyways, speaking of teams that people may think suck, but don't suck as bad as the 49ers, the Cleveland Browns. Weasel.
The Cardinals were too much for the Browns, and the Browns at home lost them 34-20. So in this game, it was pretty close, and the Browns actually had a lead at the end of the first half, 20-10. And then you have the Cardinals coming back in the second half with 24 unanswered points.
Boom.
Some notable players for the Cardinals. You got Carson Palmer, 23-38, 374 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 INT.
That's pretty
Chris
notable.
Chris Johnson, Russell, 30 times for 109. You got wide receiver Michael Floyd, 4 catches for 106 yards and a touchdown. And the still going Larry Fitzgerald, 9 for 84 and a touchdown. And Troy Nikia, 2 touchdown receptions for the tight end. For the Browns, you got Josh McCown, 18 of 34, 211 yards, 3 touchdown, 1 INT. Prior to this game, I guess I didn't know which one specifically, but he had rib problems earlier on. And he did take a hit, and I think he stayed in and stuff. But the thing was that may aggravate him later again, so we'll see about that. Manville made an appearance, 3 of 6 for 12 yards. Running game not worth mentioning. And tight end Gary Barnridge, pretty much the guy, he catches touchdowns every week. He's 7 for 53 and a touchdown. And one thing to note here for the Browns, they lost 2 defensive players, and they're actually pretty notable ones. You got cornerback Joe Hayden, and you have safety Dante Whitner, both due to concussions. So,
yeah,
that's it for that game.
Yeah, that's a good point that you brought up with those two DBs, Weasel. Because when you see Carson Palmer, look, I'm not trying to tell you Carson Palmer is bad, but when you have 2 starting DBs leave the game early, it's going to make life a little bit easier. And depth is not among the strengths of the Cleveland Brown organization, as I understand it, Chris.
And you got to remember, the Cardinals did this without even John Brown on the field either, because he didn't practice on Friday. And that's right. Coach Arians' rules, if you don't practice on Friday, you don't play in the game Sunday. So John Brown was in there trying to convince him to go in. He says, hey, no, you're not going in. So, they even did it with one of their top receivers on the sideline.
Yo, if you're expecting me to be surprised by Bruce Arians like being a strong moral compass, you're debating the wrong guy here, man. You were the one that picked him for coach of the year when he wasn't even a head coach.
Exactly.
So hey, I'm preaching to that choir in your case too, I guess. So good stuff, Weasel. So the next game, the San Diego Chargers and the Baltimore Ravens. Look, I'll be honest. As far as boring games go, this may not have been Titans-Texans, but it wasn't exactly going to be great football. Phillip Rivers versus Joe Flacco. I don't remember who I picked, but it seems like I would still pick the Ravens because the Chargers are soft and the Ravens, still aren't.
We all picked Chargers.
Damn it! Well, anyways, we got that one wrong. 29-26 the score. Chargers lost. The Ravens won. But even though the Ravens won the game, biggest story of this game is the Ravens' loss. Steve Smith out with an Achilles injury, probably effectively the last we'll see him on a football field in a professional playing sense. And that's sad. He was like on the door to some more records in yardage before he went out.
Yeah, he just passed Chris Carter in the number 10 all receptions list.
I mean, come on, dude.
But then this is like the 3rd torn Achilles in under a week.
Yeah, big picture. And what? You got that. Later on, we're going to mention Le'Veon Bell, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm just talking about Achilles with, Cameron Wake on Thursday night. And then you had someone last week, too, that went, Arian Foster with a torn Achilles.
That's right.
So in a week, you lost 3 key players for the team.
Was Foster an Achilles or an ACL?
His was an Achilles. He untouched. He went to go run out and just fell straight down to the ground.
Yeah, that sucked.
Not even contact.
Yeah, still beat the Titans. Anyways, but pop quiz. Steve Smith, Hall of Famer. Weasel.
Yes, I'd say definitely. Wouldn't call him the same year type thing, but he does. I think he deserves to be in the Hall.
By the way, you know what I love about that answer, Chris? The complete and total lack of hesitation it had. Anyways, Chris, Steve Smith, Hall of Famer.
Yes, I think he might be, won't be a first ballot. I think he'll be a second, though.
Steve Smith, Hall of Famer. Yes! Do you have any idea the quarterbacks that he got these numbers was with? How do you think Jake Delhomme was ever any good? It wasn't because of Hashim Muhammad. I know that. Of course! The Carolina Panthers. Name me another offensive player, not named Cam Newton, that has made the impact on the Carolina Panthers that Steve Smith has. And don't say Tim Panakapatuka just so you could say his name like I just did. You can't think of anybody.
D'Angelo Williams.
Okay, well, I'd like to add this Steve Smith. He had a pretty amazing season. It's been said that it's pretty much over.
Yeah.
But 46 receptions, 670 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Bashard Perriman, he's injured, so he's not going next. I think their next best guy, Aiken.
Kamar Aiken.
So they were going with nothing, and, when you're the number one wide receiver, you can get double teamed and stuff like that, but he produced still.
I mean, yeah, you mentioned he was almost 650. Don't try and tell me he wasn't going to make it to 1,000 this year if he stays healthy, So, yeah, Steve Smith, Hall of Famer. I'm not going to say first ballot. And there's one reason alone he's not going to get first ballot, and that's because he's a wide receiver. Which, by the way, none of you found an answer to my actual question. I'm just saying.
It's not D'Angelo Williams' rookie year.
Stop it.
He had a big impact.
Stop it.
He had a big impact that year.
Stop it. That year. I'm talking about a career, son. D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, look, you got to look. The Ravens rookie receiver they picked up, you know, Breshad Perriman,
right,
at UCS was practicing last week after he was dealing with a PCL strain.
Yeah.
So him coming back might help.
I mean, you know, one could argue, you know, this is your opportunity. Step your game up. Now, granted, your team's not going to the playoffs or nothing, but you can make a name for yourself. I mean, this is the kind of situation, granted, it didn't take quite this long for Odell Beckham to come back. But, you know, I don't know. Personally, Breshad Perriman doesn't do it for me, you know. But I'm not saying he's a bad receiver. You're not going to replace Steve Smith, kid. Just, no. Stop it. D'Angelo Williams. I would have taken Kelvin Benjamin as a rookie over D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo Williams. This guy, he was good, though. Wasn't Steve Smith good? He's not even looking at me now. He's like, shut up, Kale. Anyways. So somebody else can get excited. We are talking about, next up, the Vikings and the Bears. Weasel, tell us how your team did.
In the NFC North divisional matchup, the Vikings beat the Bears 23-20. Bears notables, you acted on Jay Cutler, 33, 211 yards, one touchdown. Wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey, 10 catches for 116 yards and a touchdown. I heard, my wife was saying she's a big Bears fan, so that possibly Alshon Jeffrey is on the trading block. So, I don't know if you could take from that, but...
Inside information!
We'll see. Running back Matt Forte had 10 rushes for 41 yards. He did have a knee injury, and it did look like, and that's possibly season-ending, but the word is that he damaged his MCL, but that can mean he could still return. There's a chance at it. So I don't think he's going to be placed on the IR. In the fourth quarter, Cutler ran it from 4 yards out for a touchdown to put the Bears up 20-13. Bridgewater threw a 40-yard touchdown to rookie Stephon Diggs. He's having an impressive season.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And I think he gets hyped at first. He was like game four or something. It gets some hype. But the thing is the guy keeps on producing. He finished with 6 catches for 97 yards. Quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, 17-30, 187 yards. One touchdown, one INT. So a three and out by the Bears towards the end of the fourth gave the ball back to the Vikings with only a minute remaining. Wide receiver Charles Johnson got a deep ball for 35 yards, which set up kicker Blair Walsh's 36-yard field goal for the game winner.
Who and says Teddy Bridgewater can't throw the ball down the field?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's because the one that Diggs just turned, made a cut and ran for 30 more yards after he caught the ball on a 10-yard pass.
There you go. Okay. Chris said it. Go ahead, Weasel.
Bridgewater had some, he's got a good rapport with Stephon Diggs. But the thing is Mike Wallace, I don't see him getting much slower anymore. But
not so much.
Hey, here's a question. Where's Cordarrelle Patterson?
Cordarrelle Patterson.
The problem with Cordarrelle is that
I'm not asking about the problem. I'm just asking where is he?
Where is he? I have no idea.
Is he even kicking, returning kicks?
Well, what the thing about him is that he's got four, I think they're pretty dependable wide receivers in front of him, so that he was the kick returner. And when you have teams, I think Blair Walsh is one of the kickers in the league, they booted out of the end zone. So what's the guy supposed to do?
Is he still on the field on kick returns?
What's that?
Is he still on the field for kick returns? Cordarrelle Patterson is what I'm asking.
Could
Diggs do it?
But I'm not sure. I'll look it up.
That's an interesting question. Actually, no, forget about looking that up. I think the question that Chris Lee asks you is, would it be smart for the Vikings to use Diggs in the capacity of a kick returner?
I would say they got the guy Sherrills. And I believe I forgot to mention that he had a run back for a touchdown, leave off a punt return.
Right. Okay, so you got Sherrill. So you don't even need Cordero Patterson, what I'm getting to.
Punchline.
What I'm saying is back in the draft when I said they should have traded Cordero Patterson anyway.
For Cam Chancellor, possibly?
Or not even that, for anything. They could have gotten him for something. Now you're showing that you don't really need him. His trade value has gone down. Even with the reach, what I said with coming out of Tennessee, because they said he had potential.
GM fail. Interesting.
Yeah, you know what I think about potential.
It means you suck right now.
So, you know, that project hasn't really worked out too well for them up there. But I was just trying to get it on there. Like, they went after him, and then you find this, you know, this gem with Stephon Diggs.
Oh, yes.
And you don't need Cordero Patterson. You only go with potential when your scouts do their right due diligence and say, hey, we got to tempt this guy here. You know, he's a little hidden thing. And I mean, so.
Well, speaking of gems, you could see Stephon Diggs shine on the NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Plenty of footage from him from training camp and interviews with our very own Jamie Council. Strong stuff there, too, if you check that out on NGSC Sports YouTube channel. But strong stuff there, Weasel. I got to tell you, you know, when it comes to your Vikings, I find something very interesting. And as somebody who has watched the Chappelle Show, you'll know what I'm saying when I say that the Vikings can plead a fifth. Fifth! Because they're fifth. In the NFC. What place are you in the NFC? Fifth! Go ahead. You want to do it, don't
probably
you?
Probably going to be in playoffs. So, and FYI, I did look up the Patterson, and he has 2 kickoff returns for 21-yard average, so long of 26. So he was there, but that was about it. Okay. And as him being like maybe like a punt returner, you do have Sherrill, but a high-profile guy like Antonio Brown for the Steelers, he does punt returns, I don't think there's room for him.
I really wish you could see Chris's face so you could see how thoroughly unimpressed he was with Cordell Patterson's numbers when you said that.
So especially when he said he had 2 kick returns for an average of 21 and his long of 26. That means his other one is 16.
Damn, that's some quick math, too. I didn't get to take it there, but anyways. Now, I'll put it this way. You know what your answer to Chris is? You could focus on Cordero Patterson. I plead the fifth. Anyways, what the heck? I think this is a good place to do it. Let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to NGSC Sports. This is the Student of the Game. You know, I felt like I had to go ahead and play that song because we didn't really have any missed extra points this week. So
yeah, I didn't see any.
So yeah, no Hall of Shame. So we went ahead and played the Eye of the Man because I like that song. You know, judge me all you want. You know, you can judge me, but don't judge me as harshly as you might judge the Atlanta Falcons. I told you they were fake. They're fakety fakes. Hey, you're a phony. You're a big fat phony. Hey, everybody, the Falcons are big fat phony. Actually, I've done this joke the tight end.
The Falcons?
Former chief turned.
Gonzalez.
Yeah, okay, I was right.
Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, okay, see, I did remember it right. He's like, oh, I'm going to retire. Then he doesn't. I was like, you're a big fat phony. I guess Falcons have phony in the blood. Overtime loss to the Buccaneers. 4 turnovers to the Buccaneers defense. 2 in the red zone. But going from infamous to famous, Jameis Winston leads the effort. 177 yards. Passing 18 to 29 with a touchdown. Not necessarily great. Did also, though, run in a touchdown as well. Doug Martin keeping the defense. Keeping the offense balanced. You know, when I talk about the Bucs defense, I didn't really stop him too much. Julio Jones had over 160 yards and a touchdown. However, wait. I can't call this a fumble. He just straight got ganked. The ball stolen from Julio Jones. Hey, how about you not hold the ball a mile finger waist? There's that. And rumors of Big Jake Tammy. Well, People might have thought his NFL career was dead. Not so in this game. 10 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown for the Atlanta Falcons.
See, there's like a lot of new tight ends coming to the leagues, and there's like this is their like last week and this week's like a breakout week for them. It's because they're starting to get rhythm with their new quarterbacks.
Yeah, Jacob Tammy's not new.
No, but new to the Falcons.
Ah, if I haven't seen it, it's new to me.
No, I meant new to the team.
Yeah.
With their quarterback. You know, you saw this week. Last week you saw it with the Saints, where they're tight end. We'll talk about it a little later.
So yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm just not impressed with the Falcons. Needed overtime to beat the Redskins. Barely snuck past the Titans last week. And now overtime loss to the Bucks, whom the Titans beat. I did put this game on trap alert. I did mention it in the matchup mania, but I just didn't have the guts to pick it in the study hall. And, you know, I feel like I should get a pass because it was still an overtime game. I'm just saying. So another game I thought would go into overtime when I looked at it didn't really happen that way, but a lot of injuries were a factor. Chris, Jets Raiders.
Yeah, Jets had this game won until Ryan Fitzpatrick left in the opening drive with a hand injury, and in came Geno the Jaw Smith.
Wait. They had it won until the opening drive. Did you mean to do that?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, he left in the opening drive because in came Geno the Jaw Smith.
The Jaw. No, I got that.
The Jets defense knew they were in trouble and said, great, we have this effing guy at quarterback. So they decided not to play, and Derek Carr, DC4, took advantage of an aging Antonio Cromartie on the way to a 34-20 victory. The Jets defense couldn't stop the run or the pass in the game, and DC4 threw to whoever Cromartie was covering. DC4 was 23 for 36 for 333 yards and 4 touchdowns, no INTs. Hey, who's that big rookie receiver for Oakland?
That would be Amari Cooper.
Yeah. And he had a little quiet game because Darrell Revis was covering him all game. You know who had a big game for the Raiders?
Michael Crabtree.
Every other receiver that Antonio Cromartie was covering. Michael Crabtree had 7 for 102 with a touchdown. Tywan Jones had a 59-yard touchdown catch.
And he's a running back.
Yes. And Andre Holmes had 2 catches, both for a touchdown.
Wow.
Running back and UCF alum Latavius Murray, another productive day with 113 yards on 20 carries. It's a 5.7-yard average. With the Jets, the other UCF alum in this game, Brandon Marshall, had 108 yards receiving on 9 catches. Geno Smith was 27 for 42 for 265 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. Eric Decker and tight end Kellen Davis both had a touchdown catch.
Kellen Davis, my goodness. I didn't think he was still in the league.
Difference in the game, lack of pressure and coverage by the Jets defense. The 0 sacks on Carr, and he had all the time in the world to throw the long ball.
Yeah.
So with Oakland sitting at 4-4... And the bad play by the Chiefs, except for yesterday, it was the Lions.
Well, yeah.
And the bad play by the Chargers we mentioned. Do you think Oakland will supplant themselves in the number 2 spot in the AFC West now?
My goodness. That is not an easy question. So when I need to stall, I'm going to do what any good host does. Weasel, what do you think?
Repeat it, please.
Oh, sorry to wake you up. I guess you had some drugs. He was asking if the Raiders could make the number 2 spot in the AFC West this season.
Well, finishing overall second, I could see that, yes. Their offense is clicking. I mean,
yeah, it is.
And I never expected this, but you know, Carr is actually, he's proved to be like a pretty viable weapon because, I mean, the past games, 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, and so he's definitely producing for them. So, yes. They can maybe, they can get second.
They can. I picked him to win 6 games. But some of my predictions aren't turning out so hot. Dolphins. But I'm not going to knock the Cowboys because that's just not fair. That's actually kind of cruel. I would talk about how I got the Colts wrong, but I didn't get them as wrong as some other people on this show, not mentioning any names. But no, it was both y'all. That's why I can say that. But no, you know what? I'm going to go with Weasel. I think they're going to get the second spot. And I'm going to be more confident with Weasel. They're going to get the second spot. I said it. I'm wrong about the Raiders. Of course, the second spot's going to be like 8-8. But
yeah, you want to hear something funny right now?
What's that?
If the playoffs started today, they'd be the number 5th seed.
Oh, my God. They play the 5th. The Raiders play
field. They're actually ranked fourth in the AFC right now, but that's because no one from the AFC South's above them.
The AFC South is so goddamn bad. I don't get it. I mean, I do, but I blame the Titans. That's a classic thing to do. Blame the Titans. You know, some people might think the classic thing to do is play defense, but hey, go try to convince me, Giants fan, how this was a good game I should have been watching.
There's new meaning to the Big Easy, as in touchdown passes or maybe even offenses, as Drew Brees and Eli Manning combined for 13 touchdown passes, 101 combined points, 1,030 combined yards, and a combined 6 for 6 in the red zone.
6 for 6 in the red zone.
I think there were defensive problems in that game.
That's why it's called the Big Easy over there.
By the way, special guest appearance by John Madden. Thank you, John.
The Giants special teams being the heroes last week faltered this week as the Giants lost 52-49.
Hold on. Like an eggshell might falter. Oh, look, it cracked a little too easy. It got blown up, okay? A tree branch falling off versus the entire tree falling down and then knocking three trees over with. Falter is not strong enough.
For the special teams? For the punt return?
Oh, carry on.
Yeah, for punt coverage. I said special teams. I didn't say defense. With less than 20 seconds left in the game, the Giants punted the ball, which was a bad punt.
Why not?
Coverage was horrible. 3 missed blocks or tackles. Saints returner brought the ball into Giants territory, fumbled it.
Why not?
Another Saints player picked it up, and all he had to do was beat the punter. And what did the punter do? Grabbed him by the face mask, brought him down.
Why not?
Tack on a 15-yard penalty, and the Saints kicked a 50-yard field goal instead of a 65-yarder because of the face mark penalty, or just go into overtime.
I mean, honestly, they should have thrown it. They probably would have scored another touchdown.
Right. Once again, the Giants blew a fourth-quarter lead and ended up with a loss. Eli Manning, okay, better stat line. Eli Manning, 30 for 41, 73%, 350 yards, and a career-high 6 touchdown passes. Or you got Drew Brees, 40 for 50 for 80%, 511 yards, career-high 7 touchdowns. He did have an interception, though.
Dude.
So what's a better career stack?
41 for 50 throwing.
40 for 50, yeah.
No. Oh,
yeah,
for the 41 for 50. Yeah. 82% completion percentage. You cannot front on that trash. Right. Eli's good. I'll have to take Drew Brees despite the interception.
Drew Brees was the 8th player to have 7 touchdown passes in the game.
That's correct.
All right, so let's play a little game. Touchdown catches. I give you the player, you give me the team.
This is so ridiculous we're able to do this, by the way. This is how absolute trash this game was defensively. Go ahead, Chris.
Odell Beckham Jr., 3 touchdowns on 8 catches for 130 yards.
Weasel, you know what team that is. Go ahead and get that one. Odell Beckham.
What about the same name?
Well, no. Nope. What team does he play for? We're playing. I give you the player, Beckham, you give me the team.
The Giants, yes.
Yes.
Bing! Okay.
Brandon Cooks, 2 touchdowns on 88 yards.
Weasel.
Guys, I'm lost here.
Okay. There's so many people with effing touchdowns. We're making fun of the fact there's so many people with effing touchdowns. He gives you the name of a player with an effing touchdown. You say their team.
You say either the Giants or the Saints.
Beer.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Brandon Cooks.
Saints.
Bing.
Willie Snead, 2 touchdowns on 76 yards.
That's Saints.
Bing!
Dwayne Harris, 2 touchdowns on 37 yards.
I'm going to guess Giants.
Ding!
Bing! Okay, yeah. I needed help with that one.
Ben Watson, a touchdown on 147 receiving yards, which he led all receivers.
One of the surprising players of the year, and he is on the Saints.
Bing!
Shane Vereen, touchdown on 60 yards.
Giants.
Bing!
Marquise Colston, touchdown on 114 yards.
He came out of nowhere. I didn't see him doing anything this season, but he got something. So, thanks.
Stop stalling while you look it up on the internet.
The Giants defense thought the same thing. It came out of nowhere because he was wide open down the middle of the field. And last one, CJ Spiller, touchdown on 15 yards.
That is the Saints.
Bing! The problem is, you still don't win the game because you were on drugs and didn't hear the question. I love you, buddy.
All right, and here's another note. The Saints lost Kyrie Robinson to an injury with a broken leg.
That's right.
They had a tryout with Trent Richardson today.
See, I was about to say,
they're
fun.
They're not doing that, are they?
What's that?
Is that serious?
They had a tryout with him, yes. I mean, you got to look at they already have Mark Ingram.
Yep.
Mark Ingram had a great junior year. When he came senior, it was more like a Trent Richardson show his senior year. That's why he kind of fell in the draft. And then Trent Richardson comes up, and then like his senior year, whatever his last year is, here comes the next Alabama. Eddie Lacy comes up, and then he takes the spotlight for... I just thought it was pretty funny.
That is pretty crazy. Hey, look, I mean, first of all, Weasel being shocked that they worked out Trent Richardson is in itself just hilarious. So thank you for your outrage on that one, because I'm sure you share it with a lot of Saints fans.
You could find it, like, on YouTube and stuff. A lot of people post how he has, like, has the worst vision of any running back in NFL history. It's like the guy runs into his offensive lineman when there's a clear hole to the left type of thing. Pretty much what's going to happen is, once again, another team is going to pay him to go away.
Maybe he's green, black, colorblind.
Interesting.
The Raiders, they ran into the line. He couldn't see the grass.
I see what you're doing there, yes.
Maybe it's colorblind, like Vinny Testaverde.
And he played for the Jets. Oh, my God. Anyways. Like, how did he see green? It must have been a problem.
Yeah, he played for the Bucks too. With that
and
orange.
They're red.
Oh, it was the orange.
Oh God,
it was that powder orange when they played against the Dolphins. Couldn't tell the difference between the orange and the teal green.
Wow. Anyways, what I was going to say, like, we were having all this fun. Then you bring up a dude with a broken leg, but then it becomes a joke all over again with Trent Richardson, so I'm conflicted now. Anyways, I picked the Saints. Because when it comes associated to trying to pick this game, a lot of people said, God knows. Well, now, during that game, when people would ask, where's the defense? The answer is, God knows. Moving on.
God doesn't know.
Not even God knows what you're doing.
Question.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for y'all. Okay, the JPP of last year, how would you have done with the Giants this year in this game?
Probably still crappy. Probably still crappy.
The problem wasn't really with the front. It was more of the coverage. There was lack of coverage.
Well, was there a lack of pass rush?
I don't think so.
I don't think there's much lack of a. It was more of the game plan was to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quick on both sides of the ball. Breeze did throw a couple balls deep. That were caught, but really, I mean, the ball's out of his hand in under 2-3 seconds, so even with JPP there, it's not going to matter.
Boom. Interesting point. I mean, whether JPP is at full strength or, sailing the Jolly Rogers Captain Hook, I don't think he would have made much of a difference in this game.
That'd be kind of cool, but I don't think it's legal. Hook on his hand.
I don't know. Anyways... So, going from that game where they were scoring everywhere to two of the most garbage quarterbacks currently playing at a starting role, Seahawks-Cowboys. Weasel.
All right. Seahawks on the road defeated the Cowboys. Kind of a weird score. 13-12. So, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, 19-30, 210 yards, one touchdown, one INT. The lone touchdown was by tight end Luke Wilson, who had a 22-yard catch towards the end of the first half. Tight end Jimmy Graham, he got, I guess, a little bit more love this game. 7 catches for 75 yards. Story of the game was the return of one Dez Bryant, Cowboys wide receiver. The thing was that pretty much for this whole game, he was covered by someone that people give him a lot of crap for not being a cover quarterback, like a one Revis or something like Cromartie. But the thing was, Sherman covered Dez Bryant all game. And Bryant, coming back from the foot injury, he did have only 2 catches for 12 yards. So that's good ups for Sherman on that. Cowboys quarterback Matt Castle was 13 of 25 for 97 yards. But I think there's a quarterback on the Packers. I don't think he did as good. But
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. More on that later.
Yeah. Cowboys running back Darren McFadden. He got his chance as the starting running back. Decent showing. 20 rushes for 64 yards, but he did have 6 catches for 49 yards. So the Cowboys, they managed to score field goals in each quarter, and with close to a minute remaining, the Seahawks made a 24-yard field goal to put them up 13-12. And starting at their own 20 from a touchback, they were unable to get anywhere. So now just wondering for like the rest of the season, how will that does Brian do? And you do keep in mind that Romo, he's most likely going to be back in week 11. Or is it week 11 or after week 11?
I think it's week 11.
11? So that should give him a boost, but what do y'all think?
So I think Dez Bryant's going to be better because it won't be Matt Castle. Don't give me this trash and garbage about Richard Sherman locking him up. Now, granted, Richard Sherman's a good player. I think he catches too much hell, too. But Matt Castle.
Oh, I mean, he was on him, so.
But Matt Castle.
Were kind of jump balls, and Sherman held his ground.
Well, also, I mean, you got to look at towards the end of the game right there on third down. Matt Castle scrambled out of the pocket instead of throwing the ball away to stop the timing. Takes a sack. To waste more clock there at the end of the game. So, I mean...
Matt Castle.
I mean, I think Braden Whedon would be better than Castle. So,
in this game, he would.
In the last week's game against the Giants, too.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. Matt Castle. Matt Castle.
Matt Castle.
I was hoping you'd do something. There you go, Weasel. You know what? I bet a lot of people were hoping for the Pittsburgh Steelers to do something against the undefeated Bengals. How'd that go, Weasel?
Well, on the good notes of that game, Big Ben did return from the injury. That wasn't enough. Steelers lost his home game to the still undefeated Bengals, 16-10. Steelers started this game with a 7-minute, 12-play drive, which led to a Steelers touchdown reception by one, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Good from, what's that?
I said Antonio Brown. It just,
yeah.
You know.
He's the real deal. And Big Ben finished 28 of 45, 262 yards, one touchdown, 3 INTs.
Oops.
And he was sacked twice. Brown had 6 catches for 47 yards. In the mid-second quarter, this is bad. You got Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
He tore his right MCL. And so he's going to be out for the rest of the season. So one positive from this is D'Angelo Williams did play the first 2 games.
See, there's D'Angelo Williams making a difference.
But
I was saying, Chris earlier was talking about D'Angelo Williams in Carolina. So I'm like, here's D'Angelo Williams making an impact.
Hey, I got a question about Le'Veon Bell's injury right there. On that play that he got injured on, did they call that a catch?
I think they did.
Because he caught it, turned, was getting tackled, went down to the ground.
I don't know. I think it was.
Yeah.
He caught the ball, turned, was getting tackled, went down to the ground, and the ball popped out. The NFL definition is it wasn't a catch. Another game later that day, they called it a catch at the end of like a quarter. When they came back from the third quarter, they reviewed it, and they said it wasn't a catch. The same exact thing. And, you know, if it's in the end zone, that would have been a catch. That's all I was asking. I swear I thought that one was the catch.
Hey, you want to know what question I have regarding this play? Where is my pension? All right? I have to make this decision. I should get a $40,000 a year raise and a goddamn pension. Okay?
I just want to say that because he caught the ball, turned, was getting tackled, went to the ground, and the ball popped out. And they called it a catch.
Weasel, keep going. This is making my brain hurt.
All right. So, one, D'Angelo Williams. I think, personally for me, I was kind of like the D'Angelo thing, Williams with Jonathan Stewart thing. I wasn't too high on that. So, but with the Steelers, he's doing pretty good. So
he's
now the number one running back. 9 attempts for 71 yards.
And he looked good opening the season when Le'Veon was suspended. when you want to run the football.
Yeah, first two games, he had huge fantasy numbers, and he was playing really well. And Le'Veon, the guy's the top five running back.
Yeah.
And when that guy comes back, yeah, you're going to sit.
Yeah, yeah. When you want to run the football. D'Angelo! See what I did there?
Anyway. Not bad. So, you got Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton, 23 of 38, 231 yards, one touchdown, two INTs, sacked twice. Bengals' lone touchdown was by one A.J. Green.
Oh, that guy.
11 catches for 118 yards. So, Big Ben was intercepted twice in the fourth quarter. One led to a 44-yard field goal for the Bengals. And it brought the score to 16-10. Steelers needed a touchdown. Got the ball at the Bengals' 16-yard line. So they were almost there, but it fell in, the last pass fell incomplete. Tough thing with losing their running back. But for the Bengals, considering they're undefeated right now, not losing a game can include the playoffs. So the question is where do you see the Bengals when you see them losing their next game? And let's see.
So walk us through it, because we're going into week... This is week eight. We're going into week nine. There's nine games left for the Bengals schedule, because they've already had their bye.
Yes, they had their bye last week.
So next week, I forget who they're playing. Oh, yeah, they're playing the Browns next week. Thursday. Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Texans the week after.
I ain't worried about that.
Cardinals the week after that.
I'm going to...
They actually, those 4 weeks... are going to be rough because, I mean, you got the Cardinals, then you got the Rams.
They could beat the Rams. They could beat the Rams.
Then you got the Browns again, even though they're Browns, it's a rival.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah. And then you got the Steelers.
Do they play the Pats somewhere in there?
No, they play the Broncos. No, they don't play the Pats.
Okay.
They play the Broncos in 15 and the Ravens in 16.
Oh, God.
And they have a bye week between the Steelers and the Broncos because they play against the Niners.
That's right. I see what you did there.
You're like, they're at their bye week.
I did. No, well, no. I was like, damn it. I got it wrong. I just said it. No, I forgot they had two bye weeks this year. Shut up. Anyways. The Patriots have a bye because they play the Giants.
So it's like maybe 11, but if they get past the Cardinals, I'm saying, like I said earlier, 13th game for Andy Dalton. He always loses. So it'll be week 14, the Steelers.
Yeah, and I was going to say, a rematch against the Steelers. I mean, look, this game was not a give me. And, like, some idiot said, oh, if they had every odd bet, it's a different game. No. If Big Ben doesn't throw two interceptions with less than 3 minutes left in the damn game, then it's a different game. Yeah. Ben choked like hell.
I think because he's been out for a few weeks.
I agree.
And that he's in the game shape. And then also, I think his knee was bothering him towards the second half because of, he wasn't getting the power behind the ball.
And look, I said the very same thing in print and in the study hall last week. You know, the Ben coming back this first week, it's unfortunate that he has to face Demata Pecco, that he has to face Geno Atkins, that he has to face Bontez Perfect, you know. That's just a rough draw when you're coming back from an injury the first week. I'm not even talking smack. That just sucks. Look, it'd be better if he had a chance to come back against the Browns, for example. Or hell, this year, they don't have the Niners. Shut up. This damn guy.
The Giants defense.
Well, I mean, yeah, he had a better shot against Captain Hook than he would Aaron Lynch. Aaron Lynch on the Niners is more dangerous than Jason Pierre-Paul right now, I think. You know, but I think I'm with Chris. I think the Cardinals claim them, and if they get past that, I think the Broncos have a shot, and I'm confident.
They play the Steelers before the Broncos, so
and I think the Steelers rematch is. I would argue the Steelers rematch is the most dangerous game. I'll put it that way. Good question.
Yeah, because when Antonio Brown, he ain't no joke.
Say again.
Antonio Brown, no joke.
Antonio Brown. He could easily have a big game there. So
Yeah. Absolutely.
But in terms of losing, I agree with the game against the Cardinals. It is in Arizona. So
that's important. Yeah, that's important too. But I mean that's interesting. I mean, if you were saying to me Carson Palmer or Andy Dalton, ooh, have we had that before? Carson Palmer versus Andy Dalton. I just thought of that. Interesting. That might have to make the matchup mania. Spoiler alert! Anyways. So, two undefeated teams faced each other on Sunday night. Spoiler alert, one of them lost. See what I did there? The one that lost was the Packers. Ha ha. No, that's not a spoiler. It's actually time to tell you. Anyways, 29-10, the final score. Look, I could go into the fact, oh, Peyton Manning threw a pick. Oh, Peyton Manning threw 340 yards. Oh, the Broncos offense on the ground had three touchdowns between C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hill. Oh, Demaryius Thomas had 160 yards. Oh, the Broncos were 50% on third down conversion. Whatever. The deciding factor in this game, one, Aaron Rodgers, the best individual playing the quarterback position currently in the NFL, was held to 77 total passing yards. 77 passing yards. That's less than Matt Castle.
That's not a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
That's not a lot. You've been waiting all year to drop one of those, haven't you? I mean, you know, I still feel like the Packers are a strong team. You know, let's not go ape here. But the real story, and I mean, everybody, you see, I've been getting pissed because people, like Weasel, have been going out of their way to talk smack on Peyton Manning and completely forget about the year that the Broncos defense is having. And one thing I will give Weasel plenty of credit for is he asked a question of where does this Broncos defense compare with some of the all-time greats? You know, the 2000 Ravens, the 2003 Bucks, the, you know, I'm not going to go 86 Bears with this group.
Bears in the 70s, and the Bears in 86 or so.
Say again?
Steelers in the 70s.
Oh, no,
and,
no, no.
The Bears in, like, the 80s, take, 86, I believe.
Take it easy there. We're not going to go. I'm not going to go that far, but here's where I'll set the bar. Chris, would you take this defense over the Bucks?
You know what? That's a tough one. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I actually think I would, because I think they're putting more pressure on than the Bucks defense.
You think they're putting on more pressure than Warren Sapp,
yeah,
Booger McFarland, yeah. Simeon Rice, Derek Brooks? Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow. Yep. Because here's the part where you need to put the pipe down. What does this team have that the Bucks didn't? Peyton effing Manning, okay? Brad Johnson is not as good as Peyton Manning, even with four neck surgeries and 39 years old. You don't have to agree with me. That's just the way I feel. I don't know. Weasel, where do you come out on that? I mean, you're wearing your Bucks shirt today, too. That's just unfortunate.
Well, it's tough when you go against a team like the Bucks, but I would say most of this, it would be the Tampa 2 defense, but I would stick with the 2000 Bucks.
2003 Bucks. Yeah. I say 2003 because that's the Super Bowl they won, yeah. But no, you were about to say something else.
But when you hold Aaron Rodgers only 77 yards passing.
Oh, no, that's legit.
And you're saying Peyton Manning, this was the one real good game he had this year.
This is the best game he's had, no question.
Right. So the defense has won the other games for him. So
I'm not going to go that far.
With the Bucks, they still had work done running the ball.
They had Charles Pittman. They weren't running the ball with Dunn by then.
Hello,
Michael Pittman. Yeah, sorry, Michael not Charles Pittman.
They still had Keenan McCardell.
That's correct.
So they had decent receivers. They're running the ball. I mean, Pittman's running the ball, and so they had another back.
Pittman didn't break 100 yards in a game until the Super Bowl.
Right, but then they also had a committee backfield, though, and they had Allstott running, you know, blocking for him.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, Allstott is a good defense, but still, Brad Johnson. Okay, exactly. But, you know, I think the thing, you mentioned that piece about Aaron Rodgers being held to 77, and that's great. This Bucks defense held Barry Sanders below 50 yards rushing.
That was the end of Barry Sanders' career. they would never held him in the 90s. They would have held Barry Sanders.
This is the end of Roger. No, it's not. I don't. You know, I give you credit for making this conversation more interesting than I thought it would be. But I'm not buying. You could call me a homer in the sense that I cheer for John Lynch. But John Lynch is a better safety as a Bronco than T.J. Ward is. I'm just saying.
That's probably like the weakest spot on the defense on the Broncos defense.
I like T.J. Ward. That's tough to call. That might. I don't like their defensive tackle spot very much. I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. So, speaking of things that are interesting, the study hall. Hey, Chris, is this the part where I say, I'm creeping up?
Yeah, last week you were 8-5, I was 7-6, and Weasel, 2 weeks ago he was in first, now he's in last with a 5-8 record last week. So I am 74-42, I have a 3-game lead over you, which you have 71-45.
Yeah.
And you have a 2-game lead on Weasel, he has 69.
All right.
And 47.
So Weasel loses, but also wins. So wait, that means that means I'm 3 games behind you?
You're 3 games behind me.
Damn it.
And 2 ahead of Weasel. So I'm 5 ahead of Weasel.
But you know what? At day's end, it's all the same. I'm creeping up! Damn it. So, wait, that means I'm second now.
Yes, that means you're second now.
Well,
yes.
Weasel's a little busy with that 69 games he has. Anyways, first game, Chris.
Thursday night, you got the Browns and the Bengals. You know, we touched down. The Browns are missing Joe Hayden and also Whitner, their safety.
Correct.
So that means more yards for AJ Green. So I'm going to go Bengals.
Is anybody picking the Browns here? Because I'm not.
I'm picking the Bengals, but the thing is, it's a division game, so it's still going to be one of those close games, even though the Bengals are a much better team.
Fair enough. Next game.
All right, you got the Packers at the Panthers. This one might be a little tough. You know, when the Packers are embarrassed, they come out the next week firing. You know, Clay Matthews had an ankle injury yesterday a little bit. Panthers playing tonight. They are playing without their starting center. Yeah, that could be hurt with B.J. Raji there.
Yeah.
The defensive tackle spot. Man, this one's tough, but, you know.
I can tell you're stalling.
Panthers' defense has been pretty good, and that's what's been helping them. Their offense has been pretty good. I'm going to cheat and see. I think they're winning 6-0 right now against the Colts, but it's only the Colts.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Colts' O-line.
Well, yeah. You know, they're winning 10. They scored it on a 4th-and-1, so winning 10-0. You know, Panthers beat me so many other times. I'm going to go Panthers.
Yeah. Ron Rivera, you still owe me a game from when you kicked the ball to Devin Hester, just for the record. But, you know, the Broncos put up what the children like to call a blueprint. I just don't think that the Panthers have that same blueprint. They don't have corners like Hakeem Talib and Harris and T.J. Ward at the safety spot. They don't have the secondary to hold the Packers to 77 yards. If this becomes a shootout, the Panthers will lose. I have the Packers, but it's going to be close.
Josh Norman is like the top corner in the league right now.
That's one guy.
Yeah, that's one of the corners.
Josh Norman is very good. Look, I watched the game where, you know, Collinsworth 2 weeks ago was just, you know, verbally like, you know, well, let's just say he had a lot to say about Josh Norman. I picked the Panthers to win that game. What was that? The Eagles? But I like Cam, but I like Rodgers more, man. I got to go Packers. Weasel.
I think Rodgers will come out firing. And I mean, 77 yards, that's unheard of for him. So, most of the time, he has like a 77-yard touchdown pass. So, I think they're going to be picked off. Randall Cobb he's been, I think, hampered with injuries. So, I just say because of the Aaron Rodgers effect, I will pick the Packers.
Fair enough. Next game.
All right, you got Skins at the Patriots. I already marked this down for all the Patriots.
Anybody moving on?
All right, next you got the Titans at the Saints.
Anybody?
I'm going Saints.
Okay.
Weasel, you got Saints?
Saints, yeah.
So you're saying... No, you're not. Moving on.
We got the Fins at the Bills.
Yeah.
Bills coming off of a bye week. Dolphins looked pretty bad against the Patriots. Bills' defense, I would think, would be a better defense than the Patriots. But, You know, the loss of Cam or Wake, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Bills right now.
I can't go Bills. They have too many injuries. If they get Tyrod Taylor back, maybe that would change my mind a little bit, but not really. I like the Bills' defense better overall, but I think the Bills are a team that are in disarray identity-wise. I guess I'm trying to get my three games back early on here against Chris, or at least two of them. I have the Fins, Weasel.
Well, we'll see if there's any improvement with the Dolphins' offense. So Lamar Miller is eating, and he did all right, but it's all in Tannehill's hands. So, injuries on the Bills' side, I will pick the Dolphins.
Very good. Next game.
You get the Rams at the Vikings. It's a little tough. I'm going to go with the hop on the Todd Gurley train right now. I'm going to go Rams just because of that defense.
I mean, both teams have good defenses here, and I mean, it's the infamous running back battle. The new class of Todd, I am not a Gurley man, to Adrian Peterson. I like Bridgewater more than I like Foles. But, see, that's what makes this tough. I appreciate you picking the Rams because their defense is a little bit better. And every time I pick the Vikings, they tend to want to burn me, except against the Bears. I did pick the Vikings in my Survivor League at work.
And they tried to burn you.
They tried to burn me. You know what? Screw it. I got the Rams. I can't do it. Weasel?
Well, Todd Gurley was drafted. I think people were saying that the next running back before him that had, like, you know, that special size, speed, and everything, it was, of course, the Adrian Peterson. So Gurley, he's been proving everybody, you know, like, that he came back and he was he has been pretty solid. But I'm going to go with the Vikings on this one.
Homer.
I think the Vikings will have a bit more offense than the Rams will.
By the way, in other news, apparently Weasel is watching an episode of The Simpsons while picking his games tonight. Next game.
All right, you get the Jags at the Jets. This one should be pretty easy, but the Jets don't have a quarterback right now.
Yeah.
You know, the Jags' defense is a little rough, but then the Jets' defense last week was rough with Antonio Camardi. So the Jags like to pass the ball. But I think, you know, it's tough, really tough.
It is.
I want to pick the Jets, but I also want to pick the Jags in this one. It's like, how about a tie?
I pick a tie. I'll tell you what, if you pick a tie and you get it right, I'll give you 2 points.
No. I'm going to go Jets strength of defense. I think their defense will bounce back this week. I think they're just hung over from the Patriots game.
I think what's going to happen is Allen Robinson is going to have a poor game. The first one he's had really all year as a Jaguar. I think TJ Yeldon keeps it balanced. God damn it, I'm going to do it. I'm picking the Jags. Chris is a homer. Weasel.
Ferns is another wide receiver for the Jags that may get some attention.
Yes, he
is. This was Jags' guess, right?
Yep.
I'm going on the defense of the Jets, but got to give credit to the Jaguars because their offense and Blake Bortles especially, they look like the real deal. But I will go for the Jets.
Hey, at some point, you got to score the football. I mean, you know, the Texans have proven that. Anyways, next.
All right, you got the Raiders at the Steelers, which is another tough game the way the Raiders have played the last 2 weeks.
It is.
You know,
you're struggling, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's the Ben Roethlisberger knee. He looked like he was at the end of the game. It looked like he was bothering him. He wasn't getting that thing.
Right.
And Oakland will, you know, pick you apart with that. I don't think their defense is strong enough. I'm gonna go Steelers.
I'm gonna go Steelers too. I think they go in gauging for Big Ben, trying to pass rush heavily. I think D'Angelo Williams, who can survive an environment where the quarterback gets the focus, as he did with Cam Newton in Carolina, I think he makes a difference here. I just don't like the Raiders defense quite as much as I do the Steelers defense as well. I have the Steelers here. Weasel.
Got to give props to Carr on the quarterback for the Raiders. But, he's really getting it together, especially in the touchdown column.
Oh, yeah.
But defense is, I would say, the difference in this game. And the Le'Veon Bell for the Steelers is not going to play, of course.
Right.
But the thing is D'Angelo Williams, he's still got some guy named Antonio Brown.
Oh, him.
And Heath Miller is even getting some attention. So I got the Steelers.
Don't forget Martavis Bryant. That guy's pretty badass,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true.
Word. Chris.
You got the Giants at the Bucks. I think Doug Martin's going to have a good game this game because the Giants have a hard time stopping the run.
They have a hard time stopping anything, apparently.
But so does the Bucks defense.
Yeah.
So I think Eli will have another good game as long as they stay with the game plan as they did with the Saints. I'm going to go Homer and go Giants.
I am not brave enough to see the Bucks do well 2 weeks in a row. I, too, have the Giants. Weasel.
I agree. I don't think Manning is going to have six touchdowns, but I still think the Giants are going to win.
a line you never expected to say this year. I don't think Eli will have six touchdowns this week.
Yeah, keyword touchdown. Usually it's the other way, interception.
it's not Joe Flacco. Yeah, burr!
You got Falcons at the Niners.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah. Moving on.
All right, we got Broncos at the Colts. I'm going Broncos.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You do.
Weasel, Broncos.
Broncos, Colts. I guess he's...
Broncos, Colts.
Yes.
I'm right here. I am going to go pick the Broncos because pretty much any team is... Their offense is up and down. And I think the Broncos are solid. And... I got the Broncos.
The Colts' offense is in the middle and down. I wouldn't call them up. Next game.
All right, you got the Eagles at the Cowboys. I'm going to go Eagles off the bye just because of either Brandon Whedon or Matt Cassell.
You know what I call this game? Eagles. Who the F wants to win this game? That's really what it comes down to. I mean, we saw the domination that the Cowboys' defense had. And, oh, by the way, they didn't have Rolando McCrane or Greg Hardy in place yet. It's very real that the Cowboys could win this game, but I'm just not brave enough to pick Merritt Castle. I, too, have the Eagles. Weasel.
You know, this is one week returned. Eagles, yeah, I agree with y'all about the bye week. They get that time off, and going for the Eagles.
Word. Next.
All right, then you got Monday night is you got the Bears at the Chargers.
Ooh.
Yeah. Chargers have been really soft lately. They've lost some games they shouldn't have. And then they lost Keenan Allen to a kidney injury. He might be done for the season.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just on that strength. I'm going to go then you got Matt Forte you're missing.
Yeah.
If Matt Forte out, I'm going to go Chargers. I think Antonio Gates and the other
Davis Green.
Right.
Look, I'll put it this way. Without Matt Forte, the Bears offense has no forte. I have the Chargers. Weasel.
I want to call it, Alshon Jeffrey. I think he's pretty good out there. But
he's all right.
He's all right. But I think running back, I think forgot, Danny Woodhead for the Chargers, he's doing pretty well. So and Gates, so they got the pieces there. So I will... pick me Chargers.
Very good. And that will do it for this week's edition of the Study Hall, where Chris would tell you I'm attempting to double his lead. We had at least three.
Yeah, there's three games different. Three
what
games
else?
Different, yeah. I could double it.
I could edit that out. That's fine. But still. I'm gonna get doubled. Watch. Huh, how many times did Weasel differ us?
He has same as you there, one different than us.
Okay. Hey, Weasel, are you creeping up?
I'm creeping up. Or maybe further down. I don't know.
Well, he only has one different than us, but he has two different from me.
Well, you can't go further down. You already have 69. Anyways, that'll do it for this edition of the Student of the Game. Of course, you can check us out on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at the SOTG. Check out my dude, Weasel Wiz.
Yeah, boy.
The shining example of playing hurt as he calls in recovering from his MCL surgery. And then, of course, my man, the local hero, firefighter extraordinaire, Chris Rankin at Hydraulic Upright, U-P-R-I-T-E, on Twitter. Good times all the way around. Check out the Magic Mania on NGSESports.com. Been doing a lot of cool stuff there with that. So until next time, everyone, class dismissed.